I'm Corey Grushka, the founder of Stories Bureau, a creative agency that specializes in storytelling and multimedia creative for all things insights.
And I'm Simrat Saran, a marketing expert with over 15 years' experience in helping the biggest brands create true memories.
I want to inspire you to think bigger, broader, and more creatively.
And I want to push you to make you think and go beyond the job description.
Let's get started.
Hey, it's Simrat here.
And Corey.
And we've been together for the last decade working with a range of different insights organizations. And today we want to do something different. Take a pause and mull over where the space is going.
For sure, yeah. We're not going to do a guest today in today's conversation. We're just going to kick ideas around, talk about really what the future of the insight space is, probably get into AI a little bit, and talk about kind of what we've seen out there, what we think we're going to see out there, and kind of where the insight space is going. I think there's some really interesting things happening, especially in the last year, huh, Samran?
True that. I don't know if you read the latest ARF report on attention metrics, which has been a big thing in the industry for the last 2 years. Scathing report that basically said, look, we don't know if there's a lot of merit within the attention metric space. A lot of the media publishers and especially the creative agencies are starting to question performance metrics, because what immediate sales doesn't equate to long-term equity.
Right.
On top of that, there is a growing circumspection to the way people are collecting information and insights on consumers, both from the privacy piece of how much can you collect, but also from the part of what are we collecting the right stuff? And is any of this material? And it's causing a huge amount of introspection within companies into what do we do now? Do we start with, you know, the original approach, which was act like you have no data and be extremely creative? And some companies are doing that, but a lot of companies are saying, we have a lot of data that we have collected over generations. It's living in all sorts of different places. Maybe this is the time that AI basically gets applied onto their data sets to start to give them insights that they have never been able to create because they were never integrated, never connected, never brought together to be synergistic or synaptic. And that's where I am seeing the industry start to move. That various insights teams are now being tasked with trying to figure out how they can take all the information that they have.
Insight? You're seeing that in the insight space happening?
In the insight space happening.
So I've seen it. I've seen big enterprises that are struggling with data governance policies, that are struggling mm-hmm. with even the roles within the organization as far as data management is concerned. I can't say that I've seen that extensively with insights. Is you're probably dead right, though. It makes perfect sense. I've seen like the data governance teams starting to figure things out. I've seen it huge enterprises. I'm talking about within the last 2 months, like what are we doing with generative AI and not mm-hmm. really having a strategy, honestly. And then Accenture coming in and being like, oh, here's your strategy. And it's just a template. And it's not even that compelling. Like, it's something I feel like I could put together off of a bunch of few LinkedIn blogs, honestly.
It's true. So right now, where most of the conversations I've had have basically been, we're taking all the focus groups, all the survey information we've collected, mm-hmm. transcripts. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are now recording meetings, especially of presentations, and they're trying to create a sort of data lake where mm-hmm. they can allow AI to learn from it and start to integrate. You and I were at IIEX and you saw the insight avatars or the consumer persona avatars that they were throwing out. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a few demonstrations, mm-hmm. very basic. Mm-hmm. That's the first step. Now, you're talking about data governance, and there is a challenge with data governance because one, no company wants to take its internal data, give it to a third party, to put AI on top of it.
It's funny, bro. Let me pause you there. I was talking to a buddy in innovation just the other day, and they actually have, they're launching their own kind of AI adjacent product, which is literally everybody in every industry has some form of AI add-on, you know, where they just tap into OpenAI's API and then call it AI. But they've been trying to sell it. And what they've been seeing is none of the CPG firms that they've approached about it, all of them are saying, we can't touch AI. On the insight side and innovation side, all of them, there's a couple of big ones that were like, yeah, let's go, which is kind of cowboyish, but like, there's still so many risks and so many unknowns that, I mean, I don't know, like you could be dead right. Everyone's putting AI policies together. As I mentioned, a couple of these companies that we work with their data governance teams on DEX and like storytelling and kind of helping them communicate their strategies. It's much more rudimentary than I thought. And you're talking about like within the last 1 or 2 months.
So right now where it's at is there's, you know, the Microsofts of the world or the Oracles of the world or the Googles of the world with the like big name AI products where there is a little bit of credibility that yes, we can use them and it's not going to be a challenge. But a lot of CIOs and CTOs are finding this to be their biggest nightmare. Like imagine, and I'm not dissing anybody, but you've worked with how many clients and they can't even use WeTransfer, right? Now you're asking a third party to come in with AI. Like
and just sift through all of their most sensitive data.
Sensitive data.
Yeah.
Corporate laptops used to be one version of Windows behind forever. Right. Now they're going to deploy the most efficient. Right. Like you remember when, what was this, 4 or 5 years ago? We were still on Internet Explorer 5 on certain clients, like when 11 and 12 was out, like it was insane, right? So that's been the biggest issue is, hold on a second, who is going to vouch for the security of this information? Now do we know that it doesn't leave the lake? The second part is, if I train my AI, this third party's AI, onto this on these conversations, doesn't it make it smarter the next time it goes to a second client?
Yeah, the IP, the ownership and all that. So all these things are huge issues. And that's why I'm saying like my buddy that's in innovation was running into walls of like, they just, so many of them just seemingly, I don't know, won't touch it. I don't even know if that's true, to be honest with you.
No, they are touching it. It's just that the application of it is going to be very rudimentary to your word, the way you said it, which is similar to how SharePoint is used in most companies, which is, hey, we can file share and we can sort of live edit decks. You don't use the full capabilities of what SharePoint can do. The same thing is going to happen with AI, at least for the first 6 to 9 months. But the truth is, if you don't do it, within a year, you're going to be so far behind. It is like highways, like armies fighting on highways with highway logistics versus you with dirt roads.
Yeah. As far as insights is concerned, you know, like it doesn't seem like anybody is really nailing it. And there is a lot of fear. So I don't even know how many companies are really going deep, at least on the insights and innovation side, which I thought innovation would be the first. Like I thought all of the innovation work, I thought everything would be enhanced with AI, all of the ideation sessions, all of the Miro boards. Like I thought AI would be everywhere with innovation, generating new ideas. I guess the question is though, where does this leave insights?
It's like saying, you know, once the wheel was invented, you had no reason for horses and bullocks and donkeys. And the truth is, no, they just became more efficient and we could move stuff much faster. I don't think the role of insights changes. I think the specialization required to be on an insights team significantly changes. And I think the role of insights within an organization significantly changes. And I'm having this conversation with another insights person in a tech company. And I gave her the example of what happened with digital media and social media. Insights teams, 2009 to 2012, were asked, how are you going to solve for insights on social media? And they applied all the standard practices, like how do you do a match control test? How do you do, you know, test control scenarios? How do you do this? How do you do that? Blah, 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 blah. And in that space, another team came out, which was digital media measurement, which was completely separate from the insights team. And social media, which was the place where all conversations are now happening, where the bulk of insights are being generated, the cultural trends are coming from, completely outside the purview of insights. So your biggest
source... I just had this conversation too the other day, yeah.
Also. Right? Like yeah. The biggest source of insights right. is now not looked at by the insights team because even to date, they do not know how to do it. And in this world...
Yeah, social listening never quite exploded the way everyone was thinking. It was such a big thing, huh?
Exactly, because we were so particular about what is the statistical significance of this is mm-hmm. like you don't realize that on social media, all it takes is one person to do something and it goes viral and things happen. No. Virality doesn't mean sales. Virality means there's a source of cultural truth that you need to go and explore. And when you explore that, that's when you start to build your insights. And that's where people started to go off. With AI, there's the same challenge. If the insights teams don't step in, and basically make this their number one priority is how do we integrate all the information we have about our consumers internally?
They're not doing it though. Like they're not upskilling. I mean, maybe it's some company. I'm sure some, maybe probably P&G is doing it, but like the average director, senior director, like VP of insights is not getting significant exposure to AI. It's business as usual from what I've seen.
And who are you going to for this stuff, right? Like you're not having the session with Microsoft Copilot. You're having it with a team of tech experts who have thought, oh wow, this is cool. Let me just apply AI to this and let me go sell that as a better, faster, cheaper service.
Yeah.
And in that world, you are not actually breaking any windows. And you have to. And the playbook's simple. The first thing is data standardization. Do you have any data standardization teams? Are you devoting any of your budget to data standardization?
But they're doing it on an enterprise. They're all doing it on an enterprise level, but not within the insights.
How can you do it on an enterprise level? Like, think about all the information.
You're right. They're trying to. But they all, every big company has like data teams, chief data officers, data governance teams, and so forth.
Of all the data that's coming in,
yeah.
Who do you think will focus on the insights part of it? Like if you think about all the information between supply chain, manufacturing, raw materials, procurement, HR, finances, taxes, marketing plans, sales calendars. In all of that, who cares about your segmentation?
Right.
You do.
Right.
Who has to do it? You have to do it.
But that's the thing. Like, at least as far as I've seen, it's not like a ton of activity in the insight space around AI, you know? Like, I mean, I'm sure there are. People are going to listen to this and be like, what are you talking about? Every startup has AI. There's so many AI insight startups. But like, really? You know, like, what's really happening in that space? Are you seeing a ton of startups and a ton of AI specific to the insight space that is actual AI, like from the foundational, from the ground up, rather than just sprinkled in some AI features and now they're calling themselves AI tech?
So I think there's a lot of gimmick agencies out there, right? The AI avatar agencies. So I was looking at a demo of a company the other day, which was about, you feed us all your focus group data, you feed us all your segmentation data, and from there, we will create consumer avatars. And these consumer avatars, you can talk, like anyone in the company can talk to. And won't it be awesome? Like they can talk to him. And here's the thing. So imagine a consumer segmentation about somebody who is a craftsman. Like that's the segmentation, really likes authentic stuff. When you're talking to somebody like that in real life versus how you're talking to an avatar, two very different situations. So this is how it is to the avatar. Hi, introduce yourself. The avatar responds, I'm Bob. I'm a craftsman. Who the hell talks like that?
Yeah.
What do you like, Bob? I really like authenticity. You know, I like the finer things in life. It is like somebody's taken the exact deck and it's just playing the answer to a question that it found in a deck.
That's because it's still early days, right? Everything's going to explode in the AI space in the next 18 months in terms of capability. So when it does, when Microsoft has like full gated control over all the corporate data, Google has all the gated control over the companies that are on their platforms, Microsoft just needs to make an acquisition or two or have the engineer spend a few days spinning something up. I'm not talking about today, but in 12 months or 18 months, when the avatars are not like super basic ChatGPT like conversations, when they're sophisticated and their intelligence is like at, you know, our level or pretty close to it, what is Insights going to do at that point? Also, from a creative perspective, you know, when Microsoft has all of your enterprise data and you need to build a presentation, and it, you know, you're just asking it to build the presentation from these 8 decks, mm-hmm. or it's even recommending what the 8 decks that you should build this presentation are, and the whole deck is built by Copilot, and the design capabilities are ridiculously good in 6 months or 9 months or 12 months.
The truth is, we are all working in a world where we are actively making our functions redundant. And I don't mean this specifically for Insights or for creative. I mean this for everything.
Right.
It is not going to affect us as much who are sort of at the time in our careers where the majority of our time of learning is over and now it's the time mm-hmm. of application.
Yeah. Well, won't affect us maybe as the first wave, you know?
Exactly. But people who are just starting their careers anywhere, and especially Insights, or people who are like 5-6 years into their career, they are looking at a significant tool change that they'll have to do to themselves in terms of what their capabilities are. And the truth is, it's in about the 1990s and early 2000s, data was hard to get. Databases were still not implemented across most organizations. And the way data was shared was there was a group of people that would, the night before, print out everything, make them into binders, highlight the key things into each one of them, and then put it on everyone's desk. That was the role of a research department in certain organizations. It doesn't exist anymore. Insights people started to move away from data reporting to bringing the data together and creating a little bit more on the strategic side. Or pulling it a little bit higher level, strategy is taking it too far. If you look at where it is today, it is, Insights has become, how can we answer all the random questions that are out there quickly? But that part is going to fundamentally stop. And if I could give the analogy of how creativity happens inside the brain. So literally it is every memory that you have about a certain topic as well as others. They start to light up and pathways get formed and creativity basically booms from there. So without memory, creativity or imagination is not possible. You can't imagine something that is beyond what you actually have a memory of. So can you think of, if I were to say, have you ever seen, you know, a red unicorn? The way that you imagine that is how you have been shown what a unicorn looks like. But if I ask you, no, I want you to rethink a unicorn, you don't know how to do that.
Okay.
So the same thing happens with AI, right? AI can't create. And while they're saying, yep, they'll be self-generating thoughts and all of that stuff, that's fantastic. But true creativity, the ability for randomness to come together, the subconscious processing that we have is our super strength. And it means that the people who are very good at this are going to be exceptionally well off. The people who are very bad at this will have, you know, an easier time getting to average. But the people who are at average are going to have a really, really hard time.
I think another interesting piece here, which I think relates to that, is Insights as a note taker versus Insights as, you know, generating actual insights that are going to move the needle for the business. And I think the note-taking for sure is going to be solved sooner than later with Copilot or with whatever companies pop up or agencies that are AI first. But I think on the generating unique insights, to me, that's the most important piece for insights organizations, is to be the voice of the consumer, to be the kind of the delegate for the broader consumer base, and both like, you know, inform the broader organization about what the consumers want, who the consumers are, what they don't know that they want, and so forth, but also like just infusing the consumer into every aspect of the organization. I feel like that's an opportunity for insights. And that's, I think, like the storytelling and activation piece. That's why we've been busy. That's why we've grown the business. There's an appetite for that. I think it'll probably be enhanced by AI, but I think that can potentially be a role for insights, even if like just brand tracking and like aggregating data and, you know, generating new ideas, new innovations, or new insights out of existing data or 25 years worth of data. Like AI is clearly going to do that for us. But it is the kind of consumer representative that I think insights can play a significant role that can become the future of the insights industry.
So if you think about the role of stories within an organization, right? And you've done this so many times, the way that we used to create stories for when we were at Pepsi versus when we were at Anheuser-Busch, very different because the cultures in the organizations were very different.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it feels like you can build AI to bring data together. And yes, you know, in 3 years' time, maybe it even gets better.
Mm-hmm.
The hunting of data becomes less of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But what needs to be told, when, how, and to whom? This is not something a machine can predict.
Marketing, internal, it's essentially it's sales and marketing internally, you know? It's influencing the organization.
That's the skill that I feel like, you know, when you have companies like Stories Bureau bring, that this is how, at this moment, this is what needs to be told.
I mean, that's why, at least in part, we've been able to stand up an agency on that type of work. But I'm not even talking about stories. I'm talking in general. I think AI is going to identify like breakthrough insights, maybe. You know, AI is going to be able to do all of the reporting, all of the more time consuming, at least in the short term, who knows where we are in the long term, but the next 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, 3 years, the piece that I think insights is going to be so important for the insight space and is probably going to be a part of the future is selling the insights. You know what I mean? Is activating the insights, actioning the insights, using AI, to do the data analysis, to identify insights, probably better than humans do. But the piece of like selling the insights internally, understanding the organization, understanding how to navigate the personalities, and like you said, PepsiCo versus ABI, like the unique nuances. It's just a company is just a group of people. Like
with a very particular culture.
Exactly. Like understanding the culture and understanding what insights are going to resonate the most. Like this might be a 3x idea, this might be a 10x idea, but the 10x idea will never make it through the organization. We have to run with the 3x idea. And how is it we communicate that? How is it we package that up? How is it we influence? You know, I think that this has to be, and it will be, a big part of the future of the role of insights, if it's going to be a standalone function that adds value. It's going to translate the voice of the consumer more effectively than it does today throughout the organization, I think.
The evolution of insights, at least in my head, is one, an organization that gives the companies that it works for frameworks to think. Not frameworks to collect data, frameworks to think. In this situation, what is the best strategy moving forward? The second role of Insights will be to be an equal partner in solution creation. The third role of Insights will be that of influence, influencing parts of the organization that are not close to the consumer, whether that be within sales, marketing, compliance,
C-suite,
legal, etc., M&As. And the fourth part is to constantly find new lakes of information or new ponds of information that need to be integrated into the lake. That, I feel, are the fundamental four things that Insights will have to retool itself for. And within that, the sort of things that will allow it, the enablers that will allow it to grow, is how quickly can you figure out what story needs to be told? Because facts don't tell a story. Stories use facts.
Yeah, totally.
Nah, look, it's a fascinating discussion. It's going to be ongoing. It happens everywhere. My advice to our listeners is vision first, action second. Don't jump into action, because without vision, you have no idea where to go.
That's the hardest part. Vision is the hardest part.
And invest in the vision. Like, spend time really thinking this through.
Thanks, buddy. Always a pleasure.
Inspiring Insights is powered by Stories Bureau. This episode was produced by Alexandra Uresta with help from Mather DeLeon. It was engineered and mixed by Tim Ballant and was edited by Joshua Ramsey. If you're into the show, why not follow Stories Bureau on LinkedIn, where you'll also find Corey and Samrat. And visit storiesbureau.com to learn more about how we tell stories that empower insights for companies all over the world. We'll be back in a month with another insightful conversation that'll inspire you to go beyond the job description. Until then, thanks for listening.